Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If I was playing golf against Scraby, I'd be rooting for him to miss every putt. Good promo, Scraby.
Thank you.
Nice work. Nice read.
Yeah, it was all right.
Mr. Coleman, EDU.
I'll be better next time.
That was a lot of verbiage. A lot of verbiage in there. You did well.
That was almost a freestyle off the top of the head, almost.
Yeah. They you almost had to read that off cue cards. Chris Ello and Tony Gwynn Jr. back with you. Hour number three of the program. It has been a pretty good afternoon, even though Tony has just wiped me off the floor, scooped me, stepped on me, and then brought in Jesse Agler to add insult to injury.
I brought in the closer.
My goodness.
Pun intended.
Tried to have a little discussion about whether or not the Padres should entertain offers for Brad Hand. I stupidly said they shouldn't. Tony said, of course they should. And ever since Tony, and you know, the funny thing was, is before the show started, we had our poll question up there. The poll question was up there. And it was, yes, we should entertain offers for the right price, or we should hang on till the All-Star break, or my answer, which was no, we should not entertain any offers. And the funny thing was, the poll question, and you can still vote at our Twitter page at 97.3 The Fan SD, but when we started the show, it was like dead even in the voting. Since you and I have started arguing about it, it is now 56% favor your side, and only 33% of the voters favor my side. So it just shows you have done an outstanding job making your argument, and I have done a terrible job making mine.
You know, I can be okay at arguing sometimes.
You're good, well, especially when you have the winning point of view.
that helps, obviously.
Let's see how we do today on, it's 5 o'clock, so let's see how we do today on the Big Five.
Begin final countdown.
The Sienna Field Superstar.
Big.
Woo-hoo! I say, sports fans.
Five.
Hope you're ready for this.
The Big Five. The Big Five. The Big Five.
I have been waiting all day because I saw this story first thing in the morning, and I have been waiting for you guys to hear this. So let's get started.
Number five.
If you want to own a piece of history from the NBA Finals, you can now own J.R. Smith's Game 1 jersey. Remember, Game 1 is where he forgot what he was doing on the court. And the NBA put it up for auction. And so right now, the price of J.R. Smith's Game 1 worn jersey is $3,000. That is a really low price. So let's start with you, Chris. I want to know, what do you think the person who buys this should do with this jersey?
I thought you were going to ask if I would entertain the thought of buying it.
No, because I know the answer is no.
Correct.
Because I won't even pay $2 to pay for the Athletic webpage.
Yeah, no.
I'm certainly not paying $3,000 for J.R. Smith's stinking jersey. What should what? Somebody who buys it do with it?
Should a Warriors fan buy it and put it up in a museum? Should a Cavs fan buy it and burn it? What should they do with it?
These are so tough for me because I'm not a collector of this kind of stuff. I don't really understand why anybody would want J.R. Smith's game-worn jersey. I think a Warrior fan should get it and kneel down and thank it every day.
Okay. I like that. Tony, what do you think?
I don't even know what to think about this question.
I don't either.
The first thing that popped up in my mind was buy some Febreze.
Yeah,
because
it's probably stinky.
You consider no, it's not even on that level. I mean, just think about it. I mean, the man did forget a timeout. You know, maybe there's some extracurricular activities going on.
Oh, I see where you're going.
You might need
to
spray it down. It might have a lingering smell.
The game did happen in Oakland.
It did happen in Cali.
And last year, the Cavs were accused of smoking marijuana in the locker room.
In the locker room.
So I get where you're going with that.
Maybe. But, I mean, honestly, if you bought the jersey, I assume that you are a fan of some sort. So why not frame it and put MVP on there?
Okay, I like that.
Because, I mean, that's what the Golden State Warrior fans were yelling the next game that they had after JR didn't call timeout.
I think the Warriors should buy it and just raise it in the Raptors that's of even Oracle better. Arena.
That's even better.
And every time J.R. Smith comes back in, just point.
Number four.
The latest update to the Major League Baseball All-Star voting is in, and Astros second baseman Jose Altuve is the leading vote-getter in all of baseball. Altuve is on his way to his sixth All-Star appearance and has 1,572,000 votes. Altuve also leads the majors with a .342 batting average in 102 hits. Tony, let's start with you. Is he deserving of being the number one right now?
Yes, he is. And I told you yesterday, I'm a big fan of consistency, and this dude is 200 hits, I think, four straight years. This guy is as consistent as it gets. He's leading the majors in hits right now with a .342 batting average. What else does he need to do? I think it's an easy vote for people because look at he's a small guy, he's relatable. I mean, it's very easy to see yourself being Jose Altuve.
I'm glad you asked this question because I really feel strongly about this kind of thing because I was going to bring it up today on the All-Star voting because too often fans only vote for what guys have done the first 2 months of a season. Now, granted, Altuve is having another good season, but it's not anywhere near what he did last year as the MVP. The point is he should be the All-Star second baseman for the American League because he's been the best guy there for a while, like Tony said. And I like to see guys get honored for that on the All-Star team rather than just 2 months of good work.
Number three.
Chargers defensive end Melvin Ingram has had a very busy offseason. He said a few weeks ago the Chargers would win the Super Bowl, and now he is saying he wants to play tight end for the team with Hunter Henry out for the year. Chris, he told the media that, and he thinks he could contribute. Do you think that's a good idea?
No, because he has short arms.
Okay. Do you know that for a fact?
Yes. Don't you remember when they drafted him?
Yeah,
that was
a
whole
big deal
with him.
Was
the
know
fact
that
he had his arms didn't measure out as long as a defensive end's arms are supposed to be. So he's not going to be able to play tight end if he can't reach for passes. And, of course, I'm saying all of that facetiously.
Yeah,
he's an excellent player. Why not?
If he can
help the team at tight end a little bit, go for it. Give it a shot. And why shouldn't he think his team's going to win the Super Bowl? I get tired of people getting upset at people who say, my team's going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'd rather my guy say that than we're going to finish 7-9.
Yeah. Tony?
Right.
Good
you
point,
imagine?
Chris.
Yeah, nah, we're not. We're going to finish about 7-9 this
we'll be
year.
Third.
If we're lucky.
We'll be third.
I don't want him to play tight end because he's too valuable on the defensive side of the ball. At least for the Chargers standpoint. And if he went to tight end, that's hits he's actually got to take now. I mean, I think it would just beat him down, and I think the Chargers would suffer on the defensive end because of it.
Number two.
Recently, Steph Curry talked to the media about his NBA draft experience, and he revealed that he really, really wanted to be drafted by the New York Knicks. If he was taken by the Knicks, do you think they would be the darlings of the NBA right now? Tony, let's start with you.
There's just something about New York that is not the darlings, right?
Yeah.
I don't mean this in a bad way. It's grimy, it's rugged. I mean, I think that's what New Yorkers, you know, admire about the place. They don't do well with the cutesy stuff. So that being said, I think Steph Curry would be the same player. I think it would take on a different type of what's the word I'm
monster?
Looking for? It'd be just a different angle. You would be looking at it differently, I think, if he was in New York.
I think he would be a bajillionaire if he was in New York.
He definitely would be richer, that's for sure.
Chris?
I like Steph Curry the way it's turned out. So
you don't think that the Knicks would be where the Warriors are at right now, Steph Curry?
Because the question is about the Knicks, if he was taken with the Knicks.
I wasn't really paying that close to it. If the Knicks had taken Steph Curry, no, they'd screw it up somehow.
Good answer.
That's another good point.
Very good answer.
Number one.
All right, this hockey story is super weird, but the Ottawa Senators traded left winger, I didn't even know that was a position, but left winger Mike Hoffman to the Sharks today, this morning, and then they traded him to the Florida Panthers nearly a week after allegations surfaced that his fiance harassed Captain Erik Karlsson's wife online. It's a big whole issue, cyberbullying. So Chris, let's start with you. Do you think that this is going to be an issue anywhere Mike Hoffman goes?
Yeah. That's brutal. What his wife was harassing some other guy's wife?
Eric Carlson's wife lost a child, and Mike Hoffman's wife said online that the reason she lost the child was because she was addicted to painkillers.
Lost a child as in
miscarried.
Oh.
My goodness. And then
the lady
jumped on top of that situation and
said, because they don't like each other, and she said online that the reason she did was because she was addicted to painkillers.
Oh my god.
And so they traded the guy whose wife said this.
We know why Ottawa traded him away, but this has gotta follow him to each locker room he goes. Right?
I would think so. I would think that he had better sit down with his wife and get her to get off of social media quick. Either that or move on.
Yeah.
No,
Tony?
That's accurate.
I
think that's one of those things, and I've seen these in locker rooms. When it gets into the locker room and the original problem started outside the locker room, that never turns out to be a good thing, and it usually results in just this somebody getting moved out of that or off that organization.
I want to get a player perspective. Now, you have a guy, you see that he's traded to your team in the offseason. What's your first reaction knowing that this guy had his wife do this?
Unfortunately, that's going to have to be addressed at some point, right? I mean, it'll be addressed with just the guys, right? You're in the locker room, like, listen, man, we don't want to have any distractions outside of what we're doing, outside of this realm. And
we're trying to win a Stanley Cup.
We're trying to win a Stanley Cup. We can't do that if we're not all on the same page. And it probably nothing ever gets probably mentioned about the wife, so to speak, but it's insinuated that, you know, you've got to make sure we don't have these distractions.
Wives can get players traded and in hot water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has happened many times before. Ask, what is it, Brent Grimes?
I was just getting ready to say Grimes. That's
his
right.
His wife is crazy.
His wife's a little bit of a lunatic, yeah.
She was on the field when he got hurt during Hard Knocks last year. It's crazy.
That wouldn't be the first time. We saw Doug Christie get into a fight with Shaq, and his wife was down in the tunnel with it. So that's not anything.
Oh, Doug Christie's wife was another one.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for today. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Fantastic job, brother.
You're welcome.
That was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll try to pay more attention next time.
Please do. Please do.
He completely answered the wrong question.
He said the New York Knicks, and that's it. Lost me immediately.
He looks at me, and I'm like,
New York Knicks?
You there?
Knicks got a question in today? 5:17 is the time. We are coming on back.
Can we give our number about one more time?
Yes.
833-288-0973. Give us a call.
Brought up a few things to discuss today. You're more than welcome to join us on the program as it resumes. Don't forget, Ted Leitner makes his long-awaited return to the airwaves. Padre pregame show is at the top of the hour, so do not go anywhere. It's Chris Ello.
Tony Gwynn Jr.
It is Gwynn and Chris.
San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Gwynn and Chris.
Happy 619 Day, by the way.
Happy 619 Day.
That's become like a thing now. You wait for your area code to become the date, and then it's a big deal.
That's legit.
In town.
I like that. Happy 619 Day.
It has to be 619 Day. We can't have 858 Day, because there is no such.
No.
Right. So, happy 619 Day, everyone.
We're past 2008. It's no 58
no,
days.
No, it's
yet.
Not. That's so, not going to happen. It is 619 Day.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's getting close to my birthday.
Did you
know that?
When's your birthday?
Friday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to? I can ask you how old you are, right?
You can ask me.
How old are you going to be?
Older. Just getting older. You'll get to this point. You're just going to stop counting them up after a while.
I'm not there yet.
My wife reminds me, but I really don't even keep track any longer.
Scrape, do we have a call?
Oh,
we do.
Yeah,
but before about Brad Hand.
Before we get to Barry on the phone here, real quick, Padre update from Andy Green down in the dugout. Franchi Cordero shut down today.
Oh,
bad news.
Man.
Rehab, felt a twinge in the elbow.
Oh, even worse.
And so he's going to go see the doctors. He's stopped his rehab assignment. Andy Green's quote basically was, it's probably going to be quite a while before we see him. So that's too
really
bad.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, it's too bad. But what's not fortunate, anyway, here's Barry from Mission Beach. How are you, Barry? What I was going to say is it's very fortunate that Barry is joining us on the program. That's what I meant to get to. What can we do for you today? Where are you at on this Brad Ann thing?
Well, here's what I want to say. I said, first of all, I'm with Chris. I'll tell you what. We need Brad Ann. We need heroes. As fans, we need to have heroes. We have an awesome guy there. Don't trade him. And what are you talking about? Trade him if the price is right? This is not a cash-strapped team. This is a team that makes money, win or lose. We need heroes, and Brad Hand is a hero.
Well, that's a different angle that we hadn't at least touched on, and we do have to remember that the fans do tend to fall in like or love with these players, and anytime you're going to move a guy as popular as a guy like Brad Hand, there's going to be some fallout. And I, you know, thank you for bringing that up, Barry, because it was one of my arguments that I never got to. But one of my arguments that I never got to was the fact that,
because I got crushed
so badly. But the fact of the matter is that if you do trade Brad Hand, I think you're telling your fan base that, you know, we really don't think we're quite ready to compete yet.
They've already said that.
But
maybe not this year, but they've said that it was going to be a drawn out plan to get better. Now, just because 2 years in, this is what I'm saying, this is where we fall into the trap. Just because 2 years into that 5-year plan, we'll just say 5 years at this point, you decide you're a little closer than maybe you anticipated, but without those things that you said you needed, as far, and I, by those things I mean the young prospects being more than prospects now. Now they're bona fide big leaguers. Without those things happening, you could fall into the trap of thinking you're closer than you actually are.
I can understand that. Everything's a risk.
But I do agree, though, San Diego does, not just San Diego, all places need some a guy to hold on to. But guess what? They just signed him to a huge contract this year. His name is Eric Hosmer.
That's your guy, Barry. So, like Eric Hosmer, because Brad Hand's going to get traded by Tony Gwynn Jr.
No, he's not. I don't have that
Thanks
kind
for
of
the
pool.
Phone call. You can jump in there. By the way, he was on my side, so I should appreciate that.
He was.
833-288-0973 is how Barry
and
got
there. I just want to say that your way of thinking, it's not like there is a right and wrong. I'm not saying that.
That's why I think it's a discussion.
Right.
I don't think there's
not
a
right
really
and wrong.
A right or wrong. And we try not to put a poll question up there where there's a right and a wrong, because then it would be 100 to nothing.
Because you could.
That'd be silly.
The Padres could be, they could end up in a spot where they keep them and it ends up benefiting them. They also could be in a spot where they move them and it ends up benefiting them. They could also be on, they could be the negative way
or
both ways.
Thing.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just going to, you know, one last time say that if they get to September and they're anywhere around the hunt this year, they're going to be really happy that Brad Hand's still on this team. So, and you're right. The odds of them still being with the Dodgers, the way the Dodgers are going now, the Diamondbacks have picked it back up. If the Padres were to get the 500 at the All-Star break, and they're 6 games under right now, they got, I think, 24 games left till the All-Star break. So I'm looking at them going, some quick math here, 24 games, 6 games over means they would go 15-9.
And a large portion of
not
that.
Bad.
That would mean more to me, because a large portion of that would mean they did that on the road. They
right.
didn't do it at home.
Most of it's going to be on the road. They do get one homestand right before the All-Star break.
Right.
So if they can go 15-9 between now and the All-Star break and get the 500, they would probably arrive at the All-Star break almost for sure in third place. And they'd probably be about 4 or 5 games out of a playoff spot. And I think that's fair enough to say that I'm competing and I'm going to try.
Make no mistake about it. The Padres are going to have to win the division if we're going down this
way. It looks that way.
The wild card's going to be out of reach at this point.
It's looking that way. I mean, you had the Cubs and Milwaukee are both way above 500 in the Central. In the East, you've got the Phillies, the Braves, and the Nationals all well above 500. So to get one of those wild card spots is going to be tough. It's going to be hard to get in the playoffs. But to me, I've got that pie in the sky thinking, which is if there's a chance, I want to keep going for it. So
switching gears, did Tom Brady threaten to retire? You'll find out when we come back.
Ooh.
I'm Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm speechless. Chris Ella.
Gwynn and Chris.
On your home for Padres Baseball 97.3 The Fan. songs from my private collection that I'm sharing with Tony Gwynn Jr. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're blessing me right now. I like this.
I have no idea what this is. No idea, but it sounds good.
We're on the islands, man.
Definitely chilling right now. This is chilling on the island type music.
This is kind of what happens when you ease into the final segment of the show.
Ooh, I like the way you work in there.
Although the final segment of the show is like 4 hours long, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
Not quite. Coming up at the top of the hour, 6 o'clock pregame, Padres, A's, Coach John Quintero. And also right at the top of that pregame show is Ted Leitner's return to the booth with Jesse Agler. They will have the keys to the game. So you'll probably want to tune in right around 6 o'clock tonight. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like normally when I do the pregame show, I'm sure people probably don't tune in until after it's over. But today, Coach is doing it, so that's one thumbs up. And two, Ted's going to be on it, and you're going to want to hear that. I'm going to listen. I know that. So that's coming up at 6. First pitch, 7:10 tonight. Eric Lauer on the mound. Yeah, the A's have a better record than the Padres. And I'll be straight. What? No, I take it back.
You're about to say you don't know anybody on the A's?
Chris Davis.
I was going to say, you guys know who Chris Davis is.
That's the only guy. He's got 20 home runs.
I got a chance to hang out with
him. He used to be a Brewer,
didn't
he?
He was a Brewer,
not?
Yes. Yeah. We were playing, I forget who I was with, maybe Philly, maybe L.A., mm-hmm. and we were in Milwaukee, and he went out to dinner with him and Ricky Weeks. First time I met him.
Ricky Weeks.
Yeah.
There's a name.
Right? Another good buddy of mine.
There's a name.
He's hung it up, too. You know,
Ricky Weeks was
the
hang-up,
the hang-up boys.
He was all right, Ricky Weeks.
Yeah, he was.
He's a good little player.
But Chris Davis is a monster with the bat.
Chris Davis can swing it.
Yes, he can.
Yeah, pitch around
Long
him.
Long hair, don't care.
Pitch around him the next 2 days, and hopefully the Padres can get a couple of wins over this Oakland ball club. But Oakland was supposed to be like the Pits. And they've been anything but that this year.
I mean, that happens in Oakland. It does.
It does. They're kind of. You know, we're sitting here and I'm saying, oh, God, I wish the Padres were in the hunt and they're 6.5 out and kind of hanging on and maybe, you know, should we not? The A's are in the same type of boat. They're 36-36, but they're 12 games back. Their division, Houston, Seattle, the Angels. Well, the Angels have, my goodness, I didn't even realize this.
They didn't come
the
back
Angels
down.
Have fallen 10.5 games out of first place.
Well,
what happened to the Angels?
Well, the 11-game winning streak of the Astros the
happened.
Seattle Mariners were playing ridiculous, too. They barely kept pace because of the with the Astros. But that AL West division is exactly what was expected in the National League West division with the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers, who all got off. Well, Diamondbacks didn't. They got off to a great start.
And then came back to earth. Well, the Astros are 24 games over .500 leading their division. The Diamondbacks are 8 games over .500 leading theirs. So the A's have a better record than the Padres, but are
12 out.
Quite a bit further out of the pennant race than the Padres are. So it'll be easier for Oakland to part with some of their young players or a veteran like a Chris Davis. He might be a guy that would be traded for so that they can get some young guys. All right, you left us going into the break with a thought, and you asked me, or did I know, you said.
I said
that Tom Brady almost retired?
I said,
and I was
did
like, what?
Tom Brady almost retire? And apparently, that is the story that is being put out right now. Is that
circulated?
There was a trade proposal on the books with either the Niners or the Titans for Rob Gronkowski. Apparently, the heads of state in New England got together, and Tom was basically like, "If you make this trade, I'm out." Like, I'm going to the beach.
You think he would have?
With my beautiful wife and family. I'm done if you trade Rob.
So if they traded Gronkowski, do you think he could have said that? But do you think Tom Brady would have honestly just at this moment in his career walked away from football?
I wouldn't put it past him. I mean,
really?
Why would he want to go back to a team where he has no weapons?
Well, if they traded Gronk, or we're going to go back to your Brad Hand argument,
yeah,
I imagine they'd probably get something in return.
Yeah, that's true, because Mr. Belichick is not
Mr. Belichick's not going to give away Gronkowski for nobody.
He doesn't lose trades.
No.
He wins trades.
And every time he trades an all-pro player, they go to the next place and are terrible, and the people that come in are the next pro bowlers. I don't want to say every time, but Richard Seymour. I'm trying to think of guys that have left the Patriots at the top of their game, gone elsewhere. Maybe not completely folded up, but certainly nowhere near as like I'll give you an example. Keep an eye on Danny Amendola this year. Right, leaves the Patriots. Now it's going to be catching or trying to catch passes from Ryan Tannehill.
Like your boy,
I know, but I would not expect my boy. God, do I have a long list of books for a guy that has a book of all the people I dislike?
You just happen to name
you have me
two
a lot of
your
boys today.
Well, this is definitely your boy. Like, there's no getting around.
Well, he has to be. What right? Can I do?
Man, he's so good.
I don't have a choice. No, he's
so
not.
Good.
What do you want me to do? What do you?
I want you to have your quarterback's back right now.
I do. I'm sticking.
He said he's kind of good.
Say he's leading them to a Super Bowl this year.
No,
you
can't do it.
I'd rather go back to the Brad Hand argument. I think I could make a better argument on that one, even though I got my butt whipped on that. I think I'd have a better chance on that. But if it's look, you're out there, you're whatever your favorite team is. I don't. It doesn't matter. Football, basketball, baseball, college, whatever. Scraby, what San Francisco all the way.
Love the 49ers, and hearing that Gronk was almost a 49er got me a little excited.
Got you a little pumped
up. But
it
didn't happen, though. It's not happening.
So you, let me ask you this, Tony. Would you rather me be myopic like 49er fans who are walking around calling Jimmy Garoppolo Jesus? Or would you rather me be a Miami fan who understands that Ryan Tannehill probably has a limitation or two?
I want you to be a Miami fan. I want you to keep it real. I mean, that's keeping it real. Jimmy Jesus, I know he's had a great
four games,
however many games that was.
Four meaningless
games,
and he's
undefeated.
By the way. Yeah, they were all meaningless games.
They were not meaningless.
Yes, they were.
No.
The team he played for was 1-11.
But the Jaguars needed playoff position. The Titans needed playoff position. They beat both those teams.
It's always
and they both got into the playoffs. So
exactly.
Clearly, they didn't mean anything.
It did. It clearly didn't.
I'm not even that big
games.
Of a Jimmy G fan.
Yes, you are. You and Russell run around here with the Jimmy Jesus
shirts,
driving
like every day.
Crazy.
Jim's
the
trying
Warriors,
to grow
just
a
because,
beard
just
like
because
Jimmy
the
G.
Warriors won the thing doesn't mean Jimmy's going to become Jesus.
I mean,
he's still Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's all he is at this point.
The Warriors have just empowered my Bay Area friends. They're
uncontrollable.
They were almost already uncontrollable. Now with a winning Warriors team, they are definitely uncontrollable.
This is one of the toughest eras of my lifetime was the late 80s because I roomed with two 49er fans, and they won four Super Bowls in that span.
Yeah.
Man, was that brutal.
My next
sentence is to be working with you when the Lakers start winning championships again.
That's how my roommates felt from 2000 to 2003 when the Lakers were winning championships. Yeah. They didn't like me very much.
Yeah. Tannehill's okay. I mean, you can't even say that he got him to the playoffs because...
He didn't.
He was hurt. He got hurt, and then they made the playoffs. So... But obviously, without him last year, they were much worse. There are some people that think Miami might make a little bit of a comeback this year. Look, Tannehill is what he is. He's all right. He's better than
I've seen him talking. I've seen him talking and doing some preseason. What is this right now that they're
making
going
the rounds?
He's making the rounds. He's doing the interviews. He's talking like a
rubber chicken circuit.
He's talking like a guy who's matured and he's ready to make that next step. That's how he's talking.
Tannehill, if you've watched him as much as I've unfortunately had to.
I haven't.
You know, I watch all their games, or most of them. You know, he's one of those guys that flashes moments.
Right.
You see him for 2.5 quarters and you say, you know, this guy's got something. And then comes that terrible play that costs you the game at the wrong time. Mm. And that's just the difference between, you know, great quarterbacks and guys that are pretty good. Because they're all pretty good. I mean, you're
right.
In the NFL, you're starting,
everybody's
your number one
pick,
good. You're going to be pretty good. But it's the guys that can make the play when it matters the most. So let's go back to Brady and whether he really would have walked away. And I don't know that he would have. Now, he has been there is another story out here about Brady evidently went on some social media responding to an Instagram post Sunday by writing 45. Which stands for 40, which means 45 in Spanish. And that's what, his age or the age that he might retire? I think that's the age he might retire. He's not 45 yet.
No, no, no. That was what they're thinking is the age he might retire.
Right. So now that he did 45, everyone's thinking that 45 is when he's going to retire.
Is that what Tom's going to do now? We're going to play the reindeer games with these secret coding.
I know.
Social media.
Oh, here
drugs.
We go. He turns 41 in August, so he's got 2 years left on his contract. He's 40 right now. So he says 45. Hey, look, Brady's going to be able to play, I think, as long as he's effective, and he's really not showing a whole lot of signs of slowing down. You can't say that now, unless it happens out of nowhere dramatically or he suffers some sort of catastrophic injury. I see no reason why he can't play for another 3 or 4 years. He's in fantastic shape. He takes tremendous care of himself, and he loves the game.
Yeah.
And he's got one of the best coaches in the history of the sport on his side. Or at least on his team.
I mean,
I don't know if they're on the same side.
They do seem
to be. They seem to be butting heads a little more than they have in the past. But to me, Belichick and Brady butting heads a little bit is just the price of doing business. If you've got two guys that are that good at what they do, they're not going to always see eye to eye on everything.
I agree. That's
don't you think?
That's unrealistic. It's unrealistic for two guys who are like those two individuals we're talking about.
Sure.
They're not going to get along all the time. Tom Brady's not going to agree with Bill Belichick every single time. Bill Belichick is the coach. So he, by design of the coach-player, you know, agreement, you have to do what the coach is asking. So there's going to be plenty of times where Tom is like, you know what, I don't think you know what you got talking about on this one, Bill.
Yeah.
And Bill's like, well, even if you don't know what I'm talking
and Bill
about,
Bill says, run it.
Go do it. That's all it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, run it, and then we'll size you up for another ring.
But definitely, Tom, as long as Tom wants to play and they haven't taken his jersey,
he has earned that right. The funny thing about this story about Tom Brady is that they're so desperate to get tidbits from Tom Brady on when he's going to retire, that there's a quote circulating now from ESPN that says, I think about it more now than I used to. I think I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later. And then in the very corner that says, comment via Oprah Winfrey.
Like Oprah so that, gets the story.
That
Oprah,
came from Oprah.
Yes, he told Oprah that. And so now that's the best ESPN can do is report what Oprah is telling them about Tom Brady. So there you have it. That's the kind of the latest on that. But I think Brady, you talk about a Gronkowski trade, I think Brady has every right to step in and say, they don't have to listen to him. But he certainly has a right to.
They should listen to him. I mean, especially your quarterback. I mean,
well, they're taking Amendola away. Remember, Edelman is
he's suspended for 4.
Going to be suspended, so you know he's losing some weapons. But it doesn't seem to matter. Every time they did these wide receiver, I mean, Brandon Cooks, I thought, was mediocre, and Brady turned him into an all pro guy.
Brandon Cooks was not mediocre.
Where's he going now?
He is going to the Rams, where he's definitely not going to.
Yes, he will.
Oh,
I do a little side bet under the table.
I have to do that. I'm going to have to take
side
you up on
thing
that
under
side
the table.
Bet there, player.
Okay, we're going to have to figure out how this bet works, but I'll just go ahead and state categorically that whatever Brandon Cooks did receiving yardage-wise, touchdown-wise last year,
he's going to do better this year.
He will not.
Touchdown wise, or what are we talking about? Were we receiving yards and touchdowns? Which one?
Those two categories. I say in neither category will he match what he did last year.
He'll definitely do better in one of those categories.
With Jared Goff throwing to
him. More importantly, that brilliant head coach they have out there in L.A.
Well, he was brilliant last year. We'll see. And I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying he had
it's
one.
It's kind of sound like that.
Well, it is because when he got into a playoff game, he didn't look very smart in that game.
Well,
he got whooped on his home field.
He just happened to play the other brilliant head coach in football. Wasn't that the Eagles they lost to?
No, they lost to the Falcons.
Oh, they did lose to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, you better take that
back. They got destroyed, too.
They got whooped on their home field by the Falcons in the first playoff game. And that didn't shock me because most quarterbacks/coaches, first playoff game is tough. Yeah. It's a different level that you're not used to.
He had the double whammy on that because both quarterback and head coach was their first playoff game.
That's
so.
Right. So all I'm saying is that Sean.
Yeah, I'm taking that bet, by the way.
Sean
McVay.
McVay,
yeah. He had a great year, but he did not have a great playoff game. Now, there's another Scraby, what are you doing? Are you trying to steal my string cheese again?
No,
is
no,
it
no.
At this point in the show where you try to distract me?
It sounds like you're trying to see steal his string cheese.
Well, I mean, I could bring an elephant in here, and Chris usually wouldn't know what's up, so I didn't know that you were going to see the one finger in the air. Tony, back me up on that.
That is true sometimes.
No, don't back him up on that.
It's true sometimes.
Don't back him up on that.
You have to back me up on that. Are we done talking because I said that?
I'm trying to figure out what the one finger was for.
We're trying to figure things out behind the scenes.
Oh, here. I got you. Yeah. I got you. I got you. All right. We'll leave that alone then.
I'm starting to feel a little bit like Nate Robinson.
Oh.
Hanging around with you guys.
You're getting a little depressed?
Getting a little depressed. See this story, Tony?
I did.
Nate Robinson, who was a fun player to watch, right? A couple of times a slam dunk champion at 5'6" or 5'7" or whatever. Incredible hops, played with the Knicks. And
three-time dunk champion.
Three-time dunk champion. Last played in the NBA in 2015-16. Came out, told Bleacher Report that he was really struggling as an NBA ball player, and the NBA... Scraby, help me here because you're the one that...
Basically...
The NBA gave him his depression is what he's been diagnosed, I guess, with depression, and he's blaming that on the NBA.
It talks about him going to see a psychologist. It doesn't necessarily say that he was depressed in there.
Okay. No, it does.
It says, quote, the NBA gave me my depression.
I'm talking
just
about
reading his quote.
To me, that's not how the story really reads at all. It reads about a guy who was forced in his mind to change his immature behavior. Some of it, he felt like they were trying to change him completely as a person. He's a fun-loving guy. He likes to play around and be a practical joker.
He sounds like a class clown.
That's how the article reads.
The reason I brought this up to you guys is because when he says the NBA caused my depression because they're not letting me be who I am, I'm thinking, dude, if you're messing around the entire time, he's talking about in a huddle during a game trying to take directions from Coach Larry Brown, one of the most legendary coaches in NBA history, and he's sitting there thinking, should I crack a joke right now? But he's blaming the NBA for forcing him out because... It goes around the league. Whenever these things happen, people are going to start talking. GMs are going to start talking, and they're going to say he doesn't take anything seriously. And so that's why I brought it up to you guys because
I'm
going to
hit this from
ridiculous.
A completely different angle.
Please.
The NBA, I think, is a pretty difficult lifestyle for a young guy. And I don't remember if Nate Robinson came out early or not. But a lot of these guys get into the league even before they're 21, right? I mean,
yes,
Kobe was
most
18,
of them. Most
19,
of them
20. So they don't have the ability, you know, the nightlife is not there available to them. They spend a lot of time alone. They spend a lot of time traveling. Some of them put a lot of family and friends and people close to them around them to kind of help them make that adjustment. But it is not an easy lifestyle to get used to. We don't see any of that. All we see is the lights go on and they run out on the court and play basketball, but we don't see the other 21 hours of the day.
Right.
And, you know, having traveled with teams before a lot, and you just got through it yourself for 10 days with the pot. But anyway, this is a tough life. I think, is that not maybe what he's referring to a little bit here?
I don't think so.
That the NBA lifestyle contributed to his depression, or
no? I'm saying
you don't think so.
I think
so. That's
why. Saying,
see, that makes a little sense to me.
That would make sense. But what I think he's saying is that the NBA didn't allow him to be who he is, and because he tried to change himself for the NBA, he got depressed.
No, the article is really about him trying to merge the two, being himself and still being able to conform. You read it. If you read the story, Gary Payton even talks about who has known Nate, it seems like, for a while. He's got to change his mindset a little bit as it pertains to getting down to business. There's rules in every workplace, right? Like, I can't do at the workplace what I may want to do at home. You know, you got to respect the people there, and everybody's there to do a job. So it does come off. That's why when I said that it doesn't come off as him being depressed, is because when you read the article, it's not as though he's... His issue is that he has to stop being being immature, and he says as much in the article.
I also think he's making excuses for why he's not in the NBA right now. And in the later part of the article, he brings up about how Lonzo Ball's doing this diss track and that they're playing Fortnite all night. And he said, well, when I played Madden until 2 a.m., everyone was telling me I was doing the wrong thing. And when I was, if I did a diss track, they're going to tell me I'm doing the wrong thing. So why can people do that now?
Well, that's he came up in the wrong time frame. I mean, there's a lot of people who could say that thing. I mean, they do. We do make... There's a story that Lonzo is making a diss track to one of his teammates, even though it seems like it's in fun. But we do highlight that now, whereas before it was more frowned upon, possibly in the league. And I don't think it's the same response. But that's life. I mean, you didn't come up in that particular time frame where it was acceptable to do that type of thing. So he kind of is making excuses about it a little bit.
He would annoy me so much.
Who, Nate Robinson?
Yeah, he would annoy me.
I don't think so.
I thought he was a
you
lot of fun.
Everybody seems like they love him.
I thought he was a lot of fun.
Even when you go through that article, it's only the coaches that are like, oh, man, you got to sometimes, you know, tone it down. I don't know if he can ever be serious.
He looked like a lot
All
of
the
fun,
players man. Love him.
He had a great time out there on the floor, it looked like to me.
Larry Brown did not like him.
Larry Brown doesn't like a lot of people.
So what? So Larry Brown's the end all?
He's the end all be all.
If he doesn't like you, then that means you're a bad person?
Yeah, he's... Yeah. Oh. Nate Robinson's going to be big three for the rest of his life.
I didn't get that memo. Here's a memo you better get, Mr. Gwynn Jr. Brandon Cooks last year for the New England Patriots averaged 11 yards.
Was
after
not
the catch
one of the categories we said. We said receiving yards and
Hang
touchdowns.
On. I'm only bringing this up because he got 1,082 yards. Most of those were thrown to him by Tom Brady. He didn't get a whole lot
what'd
of them after he caught the ball.
What did he get the year before?
I don't know.
I thought you got his numbers up right
Oh,
there.
You want his whole career stat? I just got last year's numbers because that's the bet. The bet is that he's not going to duplicate what he did last year with the Patriots.
In two categories.
In two categories.
And I said he's going to do one.
Yeah, I guess you do. Yeah. God, you get the easy part of the bet, as always.
You're the one taking the line
as
of these
always. That with the Saints, he had 1,173 yards.
That's more than last year.
With the Patriots, he had 1,082. With the Saints, he had 8 touchdowns. With the Patriots, he had 7.
So I guess his numbers were actually better with that Drew Brees
with
guy.
Drew Brees. But now you think they're going to be better with Jared Goff.
Yes,
I do. So you love Brandon Cooks. 5'10", 189-pounder from Stockton.
That runs like the wind.
Out of?
Oregon State.
Good job. Nice call. Nice pull.
Yeah.
You know why I'm betting against him?
Why?
Because Tom Brady was heard to say that he thought Brandon Cooks kind of sucked, and he didn't trust him too much. And you know what? I'm not there, but if Tom Brady says something like that about you, either you did something personally to rub him the wrong way, or... He's kind of right.
I don't believe
I hate to say that.
I don't
but that's
believe
just,
that for...
you what? Don't believe that it was said by Tom Brady?
No, I don't believe that.
Because I don't think Tom Brady necessarily trusted Brandon
I shouldn't
Cooks
say
all that,
that
much
maybe,
last year.
Maybe Brandon Cooks did something to him. But it certainly isn't because the dude doesn't work hard. I definitely don't believe that.
He works hard. But I don't think Tom Brady necessarily trusted 4th and 10... I'm looking for Brandon Cooks.
I mean, if you have a choice on 4th and 10 between Rob Gronkowski,
Edelman,
and
Amendola.
Cooks. No, not those guys. It's in Cooks.
Who's that back out of the backfield?
I'm going to Gronk.
The thing is, who's the back out of the back? The reason you have to ask who the back is out of the backfield
Deion
for the
Lewis?
Patriots because whoever
he's out too.
Whoever the Patriots have as their back in the backfield ends up being a Super Bowl hero without gaining a yard during the entire season.
Oh, I think it's James White.
James White's the one I'm thinking of.
Well,
right,
either way.
I'm going with Brady. Brady said that Cooks was not a guy that he could rely on.
He had him for 1 year, and he had everybody else on that roster for a lot longer.
I'm just telling you why I'm betting against him.
I completely understand him not trusting Brandon Cooks with one season under his belt. But I think Brandon Cooks is going to have a better year with the Rams than he did with the Patriots last year.
All right, all he needs is either 8 touchdowns for you to win or 1,100 yards for you to win.
It was 1,083, actually, to be exact, is all I need. 1,100.
Can't even round it up to 1,100?
1,083 is all I need for him to get past last year's number.
It's a random number.
It is.
Yeah, why don't you just go 1,100 and 10 touchdowns?
Because maybe he only
show a little faith in the guy.
I'm not saying he's not going to get 1,100. Matter of fact, he's going to get 1,100. But all I need to get this bet right is 1,083.
This is hilarious because we're like 4 months before the season starts, and I'm already going to have to root against every play that Brandon Cooks makes the whole season.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Well, Jared Goff still needs to get him the ball. So,
He can do that.
I don't think he's going to have a problem.
Okay.
I will tell you, man, I'm a Jared Goff guy because I saw him on the sidelines beat up the Aztecs one day at Cal. He can throw a ball through the eye of a needle.
You know why I like him? Is because he took a beating his rookie year, and it had really nothing to do with him.
It didn't knock his confidence. He came back
the next year and showed everybody. I was hearing busts after that first. Like, and a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden, you know, get a year under your belt, come out, you look confident, and you're throwing the ball around, and have a great regular season.
Miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out our podcast, 97.3thefansd.com. If you missed our argument on Brad Hand,
It
was a doozy. Tony won it in a TKO. Go back and check it out. On demand tab at the top of the page. You'll find everything you need to get caught up on Gwynn and Chris. Thanks to our guests today. Thanks to our crack support staff led by Matt Scraby, Brett Finn. Coming up next, it's the Coach John Quintero in the pregame show, but also Ted Leitner's return to the airwaves. You don't want to miss it. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, everybody. We're back at you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I am Chris Ello.
I am Tony Gwynn Jr.
Gwynn and Chris today.
San Diego's new home for Padres baseball, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.